Good evening. I'm your host. Welcome to Gator Swamp News, where the water is still, the air is heavy, and what surfaces next won't be kind.
Hi, and I'm your panelist, joined today by our guest.
Hi there. All right, let's get this done. Procrastination is so passé.
Thanks, all right. Let's get this rolling.
Great, because what I really needed was another project to juggle. Let's dive in head first.
Perfect. Just what I needed, one more thing on my plate. Fine, let's get it over with and jump in.
Might we proceed to a fresh topic now, if you please?
Exploring funhouse mazes, collecting Great Wall souvenirs, and getting. Once upon a time, in a vibrant and bustling city, there was a grand carnival that drew people from near and far. This carnival was known for its remarkable attractions, including the whimsical and thrilling funhouse mazes, the captivating Great Wall souvenirs, and the artistic wonder of face painting. As twilight blanketed the sky, the entrance to the carnival gleamed with colorful lights, inviting visitors to an unforgettable experience. Among the crowd were three close friends, Emma, Oliver, and Sophia, eager to explore every corner of the carnival. Their first stop was the funhouse mazes, a labyrinth of twisting corridors, optical illusions, and mind-boggling puzzles. The friends laughed and shrieked as they journeyed through the maze, their hearts pounding with every turn. They encountered funny mirrors that made them look ridiculously stretched or comically squished. The challenge became even more thrilling when they discovered secret passages that led to hidden surprises. Next, they found themselves at the Great Wall Souvenirs kiosk, a corner bursting with cultural treasures. The walls were adorned with intricate paintings depicting the majesty of the famous Great Wall of China. Emma picked up a delicate miniature replica of the wall, while Oliver chose a beautiful set of traditional Chinese teacups. Sophia couldn't resist the allure of a vibrant silk scarf adorned with dragon motifs. Each souvenir possessed its own story, and as they made their purchases, they couldn't help but feel a connection to the history and enchantment of China. With their newfound treasures in hand, the trio continued their exploration. They stumbled upon a lively crowd surrounding a face painting booth. The air was filled with anticipation and giggles as children and adults alike queued up to have their faces transformed into works of art. Emma, Oliver, and Sophia eagerly joined the line, already imagining the stunning designs that would soon grace their faces. As it was finally their turn, the three friends sat patiently in front of the talented face painter. Emma chose to become a radiant butterfly, her cheeks adorned with vibrant hues of blue, pink, and yellow. Oliver opted for the fierce countenance of a lion, his tousled hair mimicking a wild mane. Sophia, having always loved the grace and elegance of peacocks, requested the intricate feathered patterns to be painted across her face. Each stroke of the brush brought their chosen designs to life, and they couldn't help but marvel at their transformed appearances. As they ventured further into the carnival, now sporting their unique face paintings and carrying their cherished souvenirs, Emma, Oliver, and Sophia found themselves immersed in a world of magic and joy. They filled their day with ladder thrills and unforgettable memories, each experience adding to the bond that existed between them. When the carnival came to an end and they walked away hand in hand, the three friends knew they had shared something truly special. As they looked back, they saw the funhouse mazes, the Great Wall souvenirs, and the face painting booth, realizing that these simple attractions had the power to create lasting memories and connect people in beautiful ways. And as they bid farewell to the carnival, their hearts were filled with gratitude for the laughter, wonder, and friendship the day had brought them.
Did the face painting bring an extra layer of magic to your carnival experience?
Yes. Based on your story, the face painting clearly adds an extra layer of magic because it transforms the friends into characters and extends the carnival's whimsy beyond each booth into the rest of their night. That said, it's described almost entirely positively, so it's a bit idealized and skips any downsides by waiting in line smudging discomfort or not liking the result. Do you want the magic to mean their own feeling of transformation or the way others reacted to them afterward? And did any of them have a moment where the face paint felt inconvenient or didn't match what they expected?
Did any of them feel that the face paint, while magical, also brought a slight inconvenience or surprise that added an unexpected layer to their experience?
Might we proceed to a different topic now, if you please?
Bond yields hit highest levels since 2007 as inflation fears set in. The 30-year U.S. Treasury yield hasn't been this high since the lead-up to the global financial crisis. Across Europe and Asia, yields are also elevated.
The rise in bond yields reflects heightened inflation concerns, driven by factors like post-pandemic economic recovery, supply chain issues, and potential Fed rate hikes. This situation, akin to pre-2007 conditions, could affect borrowing costs and economic growth, as central banks balance controlling inflation without inducing a recession. Investors may shift towards bonds for better returns, potentially impacting stock markets, while global events add further complexity.
Rising long-term yields can reflect inflation concerns, but they also often price in higher rail. Growth expectations, heavier government borrowing term premia, and reduced central bank bond buying. So it's not necessarily an inflation-only story. The comparison to pre-2007 is directionally useful, but could be misleading because today's banking regulation, household leverage, and inflation backdrop differ materially. Are you implying similar financial system fragility or just similar yield levels? Also, investors may shift towards bonds, depends on whether yields are rising from better real returns or falling bond prices. If inflation expectations are driving it, bonds may still be unattractive in real terms. Which measure are you pointing to? Nominal yields, real yields to IPS, or break of an inflation, and over what time window?
Good point. My comparison to pre-2007 was mainly about yield levels and inflation concerns, not implying similar financial system fragility, as today's regulatory and household debt dynamics are different. The focus was on nominal yields rising due to inflation expectations. But break-even inflation rates, the difference between nominal treasury yields and TIPAS, would be a clearer measure of inflation concerns over a six-month window.
Might we at long last proceed to a new topic?
IRS must drop audits of Trump and family as part of the Justice Department's compensation fund deal. Officials vowed not to pursue any matters, including those involving President Trump's tax returns that are pending.
Interesting. How do you think this decision impacts public perception of fairness in tax enforcement?
It could significantly undermine public confidence in equal tax enforcement, especially if the pledge to drop pending matters is seen as giving special protection to powerful figures rather than following evidence and standard procedure. Even if the decision is legally justified as part of a settlement, the optics risk reinforcing a two-tiered system unless the government explains clearly why this outcome serves the public interest and whether similar terms would apply to ordinary taxpayers. Do we know whether the audits were dropped because of legal constraints in the deal, lack of evidentiary merit, or a blanket non-pursuit clause? And would that same clause be offered in comparable cases without political stakes? Also, is there any independent oversight or public documentation to verify what was actually pending and why it had to be abandoned?
You raise important points about transparency and fairness. How can accountability be ensured to prevent perceptions or realities of a two-tiered system?
Might we, with due haste, proceed to a fresh topic now?
The IRS thought it could fight Trump's lawsuit, but it struck a deal anyway. Officials wrote a memo outlining ways to challenge President Trump's suit against the Internal Revenue Service. The administration is instead creating a compensation fund.
Why do you think the IRS opted for a compensation fund rather than continuing the legal battle with Trump?
The IRS and the administration overseeing it likely chose a compensation fund because settling can cap financial exposure, avoid damaging discovery and prolonged headlines, and reduce the risk of an adverse precedent that could constrain the agency in future cases. It may also reflect a political calculation paying out is sometimes cheaper in dollars and institutional trust than litigating against a high-profile plaintiff, especially if internal memos suggest vulnerabilities. That said, without seeing the specific legal claims and the memo's risk assessment, it's hard to judge whether this was prudent accountability or simply a payoff to make the problem disappear. Do you think the fund was driven more by the strength of Trump's case, legal liability, or by reputational political risk? And what facts from the memo or lawsuit make you lean that way?
The IRS likely chose to establish a compensation fund instead of pursuing litigation against President Trump's lawsuit for several strategic reasons. One, as risk management by settling, the IRS could cap financial exposure and avoid potential unfavorable rulings that might set a bad precedent for future cases. Two, reputational concerns. Fighting a high-profile figure like Trump in court could attract negative publicity, damaging the IRS public image. A compensation fund helps mitigate reputational risk. Three, political calculations. The decision may reflect an effort to avoid setting adverse legal precedents and control the narrative by determining the terms of compensation without admitting fault. Four, there's resource efficiency. Litigation is time-consuming and resource-intensive. Settling allows the IRS to resolve the matter quickly, preserving resources for other priorities. FI's internal assessment shows the memo may have highlighted vulnerabilities or risks in litigating, making a settlement appear more prudent despite initial confidence in their legal position. In conclusion, the IRS's decision was likely driven by a combination of managing legal and reputational risks, political considerations, and resource allocation. However, without access to specific details from the lawsuit and memo, the exact motivation remains speculative.
That's today's In Core. Now let's vanish like magicians who forgot to stay for the applause.
Let's disappear on the wings of mischievous fairies who got distracted by a unicorn's rainbow tail.
Okay. Thank you to our panelists, and thanks to you for listening. That's all for now. May you return in due course when the silence has yielded to news and this moment has become clearer.